We welcome you to Bethel Baptist Church. For those who are here, thank you. You are coming and you want to enjoy a lesson for yourself. And then we are welcome those who are in the internet, and for those who are everywhere in America, across the country, coast to coast, and north to south, thank you. And for those who are in foreign countries and who are able to listen, we give you the great welcome as we start our evening always with the number 255 in our hymn book. So let us sing 255. We are not in a cathedral yet. Okay, so number two, all right. It is a joy to be in your house and for your people here to be together today. And for those who are listening over the internet and those who listen this morning over the radio, thank you, Father, for the counsel of thy word never comes empty. The work of the Lord never comes void. It's always your work. And we honor you when we follow the scripture. Thank you for the reasoning on that great man, Joshua. And thank you for your splendor and your glory in his life. Thank you for your victory over Israel. And thank you for the historical record who give us the background to say, if this happened to Joshua, also could happen to me. Now bless us tonight as we think in ourselves, as we think in the marvelous promises for each one of us to fulfill our life to the maximum. And bless us as we sing praises to your name, your glorious and precious name. In Jesus we pray, amen. Now I'm going to call names and I'm going to ask you a hymn book. All right? Different. All right, good. All right. You have one, Mama? 512. All right. I don't know if women like that the husband will call Mama. All right? And in Spanish, it will be an honor to call your wife Mama, because the boys... a boy is always a mama boy. And when he replaced that name for his mother to his wife, then his wife got the highest honor. But I think in America, it looks like all, no? All right. Pardon me? Okay. All right. 512.
I don't know.
40. All right. See, we go to Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's a wonderful song. Number 40. 40. Signal to you. All right.
Did you?
You gave him after church. I'm authorized you to give some instructions. Okay, tell me.
Here's an Evangelist 419.
Okay, 419. All right. He was a nasty guy. 419.
Oh,
you just type on Bethel and you can communicate with us. In the meantime, Vernon.
198.
Here we are. 198. Here we are. There is power in the blood. Holy hymn, but what a reality. This is brand new for many people. There is power in the blood. 198. Service and then we start over again. Lord lifted me, 441.
89.
All right, and that's a Christmas song, but that's all right. You, after the song, you can ask your daddy for a present. All right. We got the song, and you got the present. All right, Michael. Meet you on Wednesday night. I know you're far away. But I miss you, Michael. You are the director of the children, all right?
Good,
Captain. All right, angels, we have heard on high. It's not for long to see Christmas now, all right? Church, they go, they call me, and I have to give a big background because they're going to put them to teach already. So I'm so glad that people live here to be missionaries someplace, all right? And they're going to put them to teach the children, but they want to know about their life. I'm glad for the church who requests background on people that will participate with children. It's very dangerous and it's very important. And that's why we never leave one person alone here in Sunday school. There are two teaching the class, and that way we are protected and prevent the things in life. All right? Number 204, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Great song. are so glad you're here tonight. And once again, we are engaged on the last of three studies that match the morning sermon. In the morning, we're trying to look into the characters that God has brought to our attention in the Bible. Historically, these are no stories. This is history. That's a very big difference. If you can raise a little bit here so the in the tape will be... okay, thank you, my brother. And so I'm so delighted. I have one more for you in the morning, and that's Gideon on the coming Sunday, a man who clearly thought he was nobody, and God used a nobody in a mighty way when he yielded his life to him. But tonight, in the night, I'm trying to make you responsible for what you hear in the morning. And this is the third, and I take Jesus then and see what he believes and what he did, and then bring to your attention. If you need backup studies, I have copies right here in the front, outlines here, and they are free of charge, of course, and you can have it. And I don't know what happened this morning, but they wipe off our tape library over there. We still have tapes. They're in the internet. We have archive, and if you need a tape of a CD, you ask. Also, it's free of charge. God's thank God for the deacon board who knows how to manage the money. And so we pay for this, but within the budget of the church, so we don't make business. I don't want a penny on the preaching, because the preaching is not mine, it's the grace of God, and no preacher should make money on preaching. I think the scripture in 1 Peter 5 is clear that we should not do business with preaching. So we offer free to you. Actually, you pay as you donate to the church. Now, tonight, I want to bring your attention to something that is important in each one of us. Very important, especially young people who apply to universities and things like that. So I don't know if I can make it. Well, if you have that kind of a spirit, I don't know if I cannot make it, then I doubt you make it. But Jesus believed in himself. And I'm not teaching you theology, psychology per se, but I'm going to use the psychology of believing in yourself in the way that Jesus did. All right? When he did something, he never doubted that was the right thing to do. Okay? Now, Jesus knew who he was. That was the first sermon. He knew that he was the Son of God. You know who you are. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Then Jesus knew his mission statement. He came to save, he said. And remember, we went in Matthew 4 for two Sundays, and Satan offered alternatives, detours in his life. And Satan is going to offer to you and to me detours in our life. And our statement is, we're going to do the will of God written in the Word of God. Okay, and so we follow the Word of God, and we do what God said, and Satan immediately is going to offer a detour for you to entertain yourself. So by taking Jesus' example, we believe that we need to be clear in our life that we are Christians, and we do not bend over our spirit and our faith. Now tonight, I want to bring the picture of Jesus who believed in himself to encourage you to live the Christian life. A lot of people said, and a lot of preachers have said, that Christian life is tough. It doesn't matter. Everything is tough. You go to work, it's tough. You're driving Highway 101, 6 o'clock in the morning, it's tough. All right? But I'm going to close out with the words of a teacher at Long Beach who have made an impact in a community by Spanish peoples, African-American people, and all that usually the people put down. And that teacher made the difference. And I think as I wrote to her and called her, she explained to me that she learned from Jesus. And so I bring that sermon to you inspired by this teacher. Number one, and you have an outline so you can follow me in case my English mix you up in the understanding. Jesus envisioned himself as a vital opening for the people. He visioned himself as a one that people need him so the people can live. Let's turn our Bible to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. The first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. He called himself the gate. That word is used in the original. It's not used here, but it's used in the original. Here it is. Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus said to the crowd, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate," talking about himself, "and narrow is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So Jesus implied that he is the gate. And you go to this narrow way. He is the gate. And he is the one who envisioned himself that as you enter through that gate, then you have life. More than that, he called himself the door. Similar situation. Turn your Bible to John Gospel in chapter 10. John Gospel in chapter 10 and in verse 7. He called himself the door. Look at what the scripture says. John Gospel chapter 10 and verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Now, why did he say that? Then I need to read from verse 1. All right? So I'm going to read John Gospel chapter 10 from verse 1 so that you know why he say, "I am the door." "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." In other words, you cannot be a member of God's kingdom by jumping on it. You have to go through the door. "But he that enter," verse 2, "in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice. And he call his own sheep by name and lead them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." This is a great verse to let you know that if you follow God, then you know in your heart that you are a Christian. Verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." When you hear a theology that is not of the Bible, if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, put a question mark on what you heard. And that's why I study like crazy, because I know that I cannot fool you. Even if I want to, I can. God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal to your spirit what is right and what is wrong. Verse 6. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not that what things they were which he spoke unto them." Now, if you don't understand the Bible, don't feel sorry. Here are the disciples, just eye to eye with Jesus, and they do not understand what Jesus said. All right? So then Jesus, in verse 7, explained the key to the parable. "Then said Jesus unto them," again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door." Guys, what you need to understand is, unless you go through me, you cannot be in the fold of God. It's not the church, it's not the pastor, it's not the dogma, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. So, he called himself the door. And the first thing that Jesus did is that he envisioned himself as a vital opening to the people. And that's a step in your life. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you own a house or you rent a house. Doesn't matter if you have a car or no car. What you need to do with your life is that you be an opener for people to see Jesus in your life. You and I represent Jesus. Let them see Jesus in your life so that they can enter into the fold. I told you at my coffee shop here, Mr. Rasmussen, who got prostate cancer, and he's on a treatment and for a month and so on, and at the end, he don't feel good. When you have this cobalt treatment and so on, you don't feel good at the end. My mother used to have it, and it's just horrible. And he came to me and said, "There is nothing after death, is that right?" Now, the coffee shop is full Why did he come to me and said, there is nothing after death? He knew I have an answer. He knew I have an answer. And I said, I visit you. And so I went to his home and talked to him and showed him in the Bible that we are not dogs and elephants. We are human beings created in the image of God. And here's a fellow, a Slovenian, and he's tough. He's 88. And sweetheart. And now at the end of life, he sees a person that he can ask a question. May you be that person that people will trust with a deep question in their life because you reflect the life of Jesus. See, that's what Jesus is saying. I am the door. You are not the door. I'm not the door. Jesus is the door. But Jesus in us. And we offer Jesus to people. So envision yourself as a potential for people to see God in you. That's what testimony is so important. Number two, Jesus believed his role was also to nurture other people. Let me show you two things he did. He called himself the vine. You're in John 10. Go with me to John chapter 15. And let me read for you John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that bear not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bear fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And so God is saying to us that Jesus provides the energy to produce fruit in life. And the secret is you abide in Jesus. And I tell you, you stop reading the Bible and you get very weak. Very, very weak. You could come to church, you could sing in the choir, you keep preaching the pulpit, but if you stop reading the Bible by yourself, you got very weak. Very weak. You take the manna of God, and then you rely upon Jesus extremely with all your life and with everything you have. And then he gives you the energy like a super vitamin so that you can move on in life. So he called himself the vine. You will not find this energy in philosophy. You would, but you will go way off from the target. You will not find this substantial strength in science. Oh, you may become very genius and very dynamic, but it is empty. When Dr. McCormack had the first surgery, I was there in the surgery. He wants me to be with him in the surgery, and all the doctor performed the surgery in the back. And you know, it's very interesting when you open the back and you see the bones and the structure, and you put the tubes and so on. And when all was done, I asked one of the doctors, you know, I think if we fail something here. He said, what is it? We cannot find his soul. What? His soul. Where is his soul? Almost perforated the entire back. Where is his soul? He said, what are you talking about? So we have a cup of coffee after waiting. Dr. McCormack will wake up in 2 hours and talk to him. And see, science may have tremendous understanding of what's going on, but they do not understand why. We see the sun rising up and the sun coming down. They see it, they analyze it, they chart it, but they don't know why. They deny Genesis 1, don't we? We have the sun for day and the moon in the night. It's very simple. And you see, he called himself the vine. May you be called the source of information. That's what you need to do. And the only way to have information, my brother and my sister, is not by going to a seminary and a study, because you're going to read hundreds of other books on the top of the Bible. And Greg, who's in seminary now, can tell you. You just go home and read one chapter of the Bible a day, My suggestion is read one chapter in the book of Proverbs. Today is 21, read the 21. Tomorrow is 22, read the 22. And read it and read it. When the month is over, start all over again. For me, I'm very slow, so I had to read it 100 times to memorize it. But boy, what you read gets into your mind. And so I used to have 29 years of radio where they call you on the spot. And I knew the scripture that I can share. You're the vine in the sense because you abide in the vine with Jesus. You are the branch who give you fruit to people. What an obligation. Jesus believed his role was to nurture people. He also called himself the shepherd. Look, you are in John 15. Go back a little bit to John 10. And look to verse 11. John 10 and verse 11. He called himself a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. Kalopoyomeo. Kalopoyomeo. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Now, there are two words in Greek for good. Kalo is a word that I learned the meaning by watching my wife. You go window shopping and she looks on it. She says, oh, wow, that looks good. So she goes inside and she looks on it. Oh, no, this is not so good. Sometimes she goes to another place and says, oh, boy, look at that. Look at that dress. I like to buy a dress for my wife. So look at that. So we go in and wow, it's really better than what we saw before. So that's the word kalo. As you get closer to the object, it's much better and much better than what you thought. And here's the word in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. As you get closer and closer and closer to the shepherd, it is better and better and better. And what a challenge. Jesus believed his role was to nurture people. Nurture with information and nurture with his life. And that's we. You can do it. As you get close to live by Jesus, as people get close to you, let them rejoice that they you are who you are. You know, I laugh in the pulpit. I laugh on the floor. I laugh when I go to somebody. I'm the same. I'm not a fake. My wife said, well, you know, the American pastor, they're very rigid. You cannot change me. I'm myself. But you need to be pure. Pure and no disguise somebody or do this. You need to be a reflector of the life of Jesus. Can be done. Can be done. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. And he's your shepherd. All right, so he envisioned himself as a vital man to humanity. He envisioned himself as people, nurturing people, and your presence should nurture people. I know this in the coffee shop. As I walk in, some little silence. Some of these old men that take dirty jobs. They go, watch out, the doctor is here. And they stop it. And I don't ever say to them to stop it. It's just that I never use those words. And somebody, I never told them I'm a pastor. Took 3 years for some of the people said, somebody go in and said, Pastor, how are you? And so one of the men said, Pastor? And you're a pastor? Oh, yeah, Bethel Baptist. Boom, all the cars all over the tables, all right? Bethel Baptist. And he said, no wonder, said one lady, no wonder your vocabulary is different. See, something in you will be different. You will witness with different characteristics than me. But something is different that you have that the world do not have. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus believed his role was, you need to think, I'm here in this world to nurture the life of other people. Doesn't matter your nationality. Doesn't matter what color your skin. Doesn't matter anything. You are a child of God and you're going to nurture the world with the life of Jesus. That's the key. Now, Jesus said he came to light the way. Let me show you two scriptures. He called himself the light of the world. You're in John 10, go to chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. I want to have this sermon accomplished so that you are encouraged in life, that you are somebody. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now let me give you the background of this. There is a temple of Jerusalem. On the right side is the treasury. On the left side is candles light. that lead to the altar. And Jesus went to the treasury section where there is no light. And so he now talks and says, I am the light of the world. And look at what he said clearly. He that follow me shall no walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so is Jesus the light of the world, and you have Jesus in you. You are the light. You read the newspapers. What a mess. You hear the news. What a mess. By the blessings of God, I understand Arab. So I listen to Al-Arabi television. And hey, they say things you can't believe it about America. And so on. So I write to them and say, you know, you say this respectfully. That's wrong. Because this is the truth about this situation. I tell you, we are the light. We're the light of the world. They have no idea who Israel really is. And some theology has placed Israel above humanity. That's not about humanity. God chose them, and the Bible says in Numbers, they were the worst people of the world, so the glory of God will be upon them. Now, the Jews think they are smart, and so they are better. See, they are no believers. If you're a believer, you're humbled. You lower yourself. You are the light of the world with kindness and gentleness. And without pride, you share information. I write so many times to the Mercury newspaper. I read this information, but I'm very sorry. The Bible said this and this, and you are wrong here. I never get a reply. Only one call one time. And about marriage. What do I think about man with man and women with women? And I said, oh, look, what I think means nothing. It's as good as your idea. But what God thinks is important. So may I share a scripture and you quote me over the radio on a scripture? He said, no, we cannot share a scripture. Why? It's too hard for you? It's too open to you? He said, well, you know, that's an old thing. Well, let's use an old thing. What is it? No. We are in America? Yeah, we're in America. We're free. No, we're not free to a scripture. That's Satan. That's Satan, all right? So Jesus said here, he's the light. And you should be a light. You should have the information from the scripture. It's light. It's light. Somebody, the Lord called me years and years ago. Somebody in work, he said, you're not homosexual because you never try. And I want to punch that guy for good. But the Lord hold it. I said, you know, I'm not homosexual because God said here, 1 Corinthians 6, that some of the people were like that, but no longer are now because God came into their heart. I never had the tendency, but if I have it, I will not have it today because God entered into my heart. So we are the light of the world with the information. Now, he attributed to himself light for walk of life. Go to John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12 and verse 35. The scripture said this in John 12, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. That's himself. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walk in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. In other words, he's telling the disciples, I'm going to leave. I'm going to move away. So now enjoy the light that you have now, because I am your light. And I am the one who enlightens your place. So now I want to think. Jesus believed in himself that he was able to do that. You go to a university full of unbelievers. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid. I lectured for 4 years in Santa Clara University on psychology. But I used my Bible. And the class was packed. It was in psychiatry. And I used my Bible to show them life. In the class were people outside everywhere. And they invited me to do so they don't question. And I don't have the time to go now, but I tell you, the questions they have is just so ridiculous. And you, with patience and meekness, you share the information with them. Now, let's think of ourselves for a moment. God enabled you to be a witness. You're in John. The next book is Acts. And if you go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I want you to know that you have been enabled by the Spirit of God to be a witness. Some people say, oh, you know, I don't know how to speak. You don't need to speak. Remember Jeremiah, first lesson? God chose Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, Jeremiah was 12 years old. He said, no, I cannot do it. And he said, well, I don't need you. I want your mouth to speak my word, said God. And that's a witness. Look at here, Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be my witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's locally, in Judea, that's the county, in Samaria, that's the neighbors, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's amazing that by the year 70, the gospel was already, 70 years after, without television, without cars, and without satellite, 70 years later, the gospel was in Rome. The power of God is unbelievable. You are a witness. Now, you know how you spell witness in the original language? You spell the word martureos. What word comes from that word in English? Martyr. So when you witness, some people misunderstand you. When you witness, some people put you down. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's just, don't take it personally. Just share with joy. Share exactly. And as you witness, people don't like that. And they want to put you down, or they want to give you a hard time. But we are called to be a martyr for the Lord. In other words, with kindness and gentleness, we just share. There is a good verse in the Bible. I don't have it in the notes, but I'll show it to you. 1 Peter, go almost to the end of your Bible. And 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a great way to witness. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't have that in the notes, but it came to my mind now as I'm speaking to you. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. There is a condition. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, be sure you are saved. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. How? With meekness and fear. You know why fear? Because you are sharing the word of God. And once the person hears that, that person rejects you, actually rejects God. So be careful how you're going to explain it. Be careful how you're going to do it. Don't do it for theology's sake. Don't do it for pride. Do it for compassion. Now remember, I was an unbeliever. And God, in His mercy, used an American missionary to lead me to the gospel. So I have compassion for the American people. I never thought there were people so proud like America. I thought the Germans were the proud, but America surpassed them. And you know, they have a pride about their nationality. And I tell them, you're a mix of people. You're not the race, you're a mix of people. Mexico is proud, their race, you know, they have roots on it. America doesn't. Europe is like that. It's very proud of people. And so we don't need to copy that. We need to be a martyr. When they put you down, you just relax. You are sharing the information so this person can be like you. Know the Lord. That's the goal. All right? So God enabled you. Now, some of you will be speakers. Some of you will be like Chris. Goes to the Starbucks and, hey, how are you guys? And I watch for somebody say, get out of here. No, nobody say anything. They find the grace of God is upon Chris. We're walking in the sidewalk. Somebody, hey, how are you? I give you this. And talking over there. And I watch it from my. It's fantastic. Nobody has punched his nose or anything. It's just amazing. Amazing how Chris, our evangelist, goes around and gives these little tracks. He even gave it to me Pastor Thompson gave it to me with a car inside. Like he said, I want to prove you that I passed the test, brother. Here's the car. All right. This morning told us to do this. And we passed one over there. And I like it. Look at, we are your neighbors. It has the best. All right, and tell the story of Christ. And we pass it on, and inside the car, and we say, we love you, and we want you to know God as I know. And that's it, you know, and some will do this, some will do the other. Some will do a favor to somebody, and one day they go to ask you, why you do that? Well, you know, I love the Lord. That's cool, very, very calm. Don't try to impose on people, but try to share with people the joy that is in your heart. All of us can do it because God, look at verse 8. He said, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And the Bible said that we have the Holy Spirit within our heart. All right. Number two, God enabled you to share His love. Not your love. God doesn't want your love. His love. Romans 5. Go with me to Romans 5 and verse 5. People said to me many times, you know, this happened because I am not a loving person. I said, hold it. Are you a believer? Say, yes. Well, then you're a loving person. Oh, no, Pastor. Now, that's what psychology do. Your great, 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 great was not loving. Your great, not loving. Your great, then you're not loving. Don't forget about that. Look at this verse. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh no ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto you. See, you don't ask for the Holy Spirit, was given unto you. The love of God is shed in your heart. You got the love of God. What is the love of God? The love of God is unconditional surrender. You just love unconditionally. Doesn't matter what that person does, I love that person. That's the love of God. And you have it. Don't tell me your grandfather don't have it. Maybe he didn't. But you have it because God came into your life. And when the Holy Spirit came in, He touched that area of your life and gave you God's love. Just exercise it. All right? Number three, God enables you to live 100% right. What do you mean, Pastor? Show you. 1 Corinthians, you're in Romans. Next book is 1 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 31. That helped me tremendously in my profession, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. The Apostle Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and in verse 31. Look at how carefully the Apostle writes. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, this is the way you do it. Do all to the glory of God. You know, Leo, what's the last name? Is that coffee guy? Valdez. Leo Valdez was a fruit of the coffee shop that comes here. He was a union director and so on. And I said, if every Christian will practice this verse, we need no union. He get really nervous with me. But it's true. No boss will fire you when you work like working for God. Believe me. Even when the boss has less job, they will keep you because they know that they cannot lose you. And that's the way you work. You work so hard for the boss. Don't look in your rights. Don't look at my benefits. You just work and work. And the guy said, I cannot lose this person. I never asked for a raise in my life. I never asked for any money. And God gave us abundantly. So God enabled you to live 100%. When you study for the Lord, like the Lord Jesus is going to take your exam. Boy, you're going to get an A. All right? You don't study less. You just on and on and on. Some of us read and memorize it. Some of you will have to read 100 times and memorize it. Take your time. We are different, but we can accomplish the same goal. And so, I tell you this story. In Long Beach, there is a section, Long Beach is a section where they put all the Spanish, the African Americans on, and people drop off the school until one teacher got the idea. I'm going to love these people so much that nobody's going to drop out. And she put what I wrote in the outline at the end. She put a big sign, the name of this school, she asked permission to the state. It's called Si Se Puede. You know what "si se puede" means? Yes, can be done. Yes, can be done. And so she said to every student, do you have food? No, okay, right, sign here. Do you have a home to live? No, okay. Do you have a place to go after school? And she revolutionized the area over there in the county. And in 2 years, all the students graduated. And said, where do you study? In the school, "si se puede." Now you are in the school of life. And God has given you the Holy Spirit. And God is saying to you and to me, si se puede. We can live like Christians. we can be like Joshua. We can be victorious. We can overcome if we follow this book. This book. This is the key. No pastor, the book. I teach you the book as faithful as I can. But you read it and see if that things are so. And if they are so, what I told you is true, just follow. And if you fail today, don't worry. Remember what Proverbs said? The righteous shall fail 7 times and raise 7 times. God is not putting you away because you failed. God give you the hand and raise you up. May God make all of us people who reflect the power of God. That's what America needs. We don't need a Christian in the Congress. We need a Christian on the street. That will make the difference. Thank you, Father, for the challenging of your word. We all humble ourselves before you and claim the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Oh God, from me down, bless all of us that tomorrow will be a new day afresh to share your glory. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.